Chapter 4. Vines curl up Alistair's legs and around his arms as another begins to fuck his mouth again. They feel like hands and fingers and occasionally mouths sliding over every inch of his body. One touches his ear, but unlike the feathery caress from before, this one is firm enough not to tickle. It traces the curve of his ear down to the hinge of his jaw, and he shivers. He shivers again as he realizes the touch on his ear is the one that's actually Zephyrin, and the hand stroking down his stomach is a vine. Up until that moment, he thought it would be easy to tell Zephyrin's hand from a magical vine. The knowledge that it isn't, that with his eyes closed, he can't be completely sure who or what is touching him, makes him gasp around the vine fucking his mouth. Every vine becomes an extension of Zephyrin, and every place they touch him, it's Zephyrin touching him. Zephyrin's hands gripping his arms, Zephyrin's fingers stroking his ear and the underside of his jaw, Zephyrin's arms around his shoulders, Zephyrin's cock sliding in and out of his mouth, and Zephyrin's mouth kissing up the length of his cock. The shift in perception leaves him disoriented, his mind trying to bend around it and only half succeeding. Probably because most of him doesn't care. Almost every sensation is new. Even the ones he's experienced before feel different when it's not his hands creating them. Stroking his own cock is not at all the same as Zephyrin doing it, whether with a hand or a vine. And the stretch at the corners of his mouth is entirely new. Alistair's jaw is aching by the time the vine pulls out of his mouth again, but he stretches his neck after it anyway. In a moment, Zephyrin murmurs, and this time Alistair knows it isn't a vine pressing against his mouth. Zephyrin's lips are cool, his tongue hot, and something curls around the back of Alistair's head to hold him in place, while Zephyrin's tongue fucks his mouth nearly as thoroughly as the vine did. The vine didn't breathe, though, didn't gasp for air and bite at his lower lip, and Alistair whimpers, too hot despite the fact that the vines are still cooler than his skin. The vines around his arms and legs tighten, lifting him into the air so carefully he doesn't even realize they're doing it until they lift him too far to keep kissing Zephyrin. He would protest, except that's definitely Zephyrin's mouth on his cock, tongue exploring the head as a vine spirals up the shaft to meet his lips. The vine is covered in soft ridges now, and as it twists, those ridges rub over Alistair's cock in time to the strokes of Zephyrin's tongue. Other vines wrap around his thighs, spreading his legs gently apart. Gently, but also relentlessly. And the vines use the same inexorable pressure to bend his arms behind his back. The position stretches his shoulders without hurting them, pushing his chest out for the vines to tease at his nipples. One of the vines tugging gently. It's a strange sensation, not entirely pleasant, and his attempts to twist away get him exactly nothing. It's the best he can do. His mouth and tongue feel thick, unused to forming words. The pressure on his nipples disappears at the same time the vines around his arms relax, leaving his hands free. "Not that, then?" Zephyrin asks. His hand cups Alistair's cheek, thumb stroking over his cheekbone. "All right, cariño." Alistair nods, but he rubs his palms roughly over his chest anyway. "I'm fine. It felt weird." His eyes move behind closed eyelids, and he remembers just in time that he's not supposed to open them. "Different weird than the rest, I guess." "Well, I shall endeavor to avoid that particular type of weird, then." Zephyrin kisses him, which is the first Alistair realizes that he's back on the ground. The kiss is nice, more than nice, except that it means Zephyrin has changed whatever he'd planned to do that involved Alistair dangling in the air. Alistair mumbles into the kiss, struggling to find the right words. The rest was good, though." "Good, weird?" Zephyrin asks lightly. "Yeah, you didn't have to stop." Zephyrin laughs in delight, and Alistair's skin flushes with want rather than embarrassment. The vines are already lifting him again, pulling his arms out to the sides this time rather than behind his back, until he's spread-eagled in the air. The stretch pulls at the muscles in his legs and arms, enough to feel it without straining them. So beautiful, Zevran says. Something touches the hollow at the top of Alistair's thigh, stroking the curve without touching his cock. It's warm, the right size to be Zevran's finger, but even as Alistair thinks that, a dozen more begin to move over his skin. They touch the insides of his wrists and elbows, comb through his hair, stroke the outside of his ear. One traces his lips, and Alistair opens his mouth for it eagerly. It's much smaller than the one that fucked his mouth before, and he thinks again of fingers, of Zevran's fingers, of the way Zevran has somehow managed to turn every vine into an extension of himself. Another vine joins the one in his mouth, the two of them moving in unison, sometimes sliding over his tongue, sometimes wrapping around it. He barely notices when more join in, only aware of the way they force his mouth open wider, the way his lips have to stretch to make room. He's gasping for air around them, as breathless as he was earlier when Zevran was kissing him. The vines rearrange him, pulling his arms over his head and his legs up against his chest, and the one that's been stroking the hollow of his groin slides up to press on the skin behind his balls. Alistair notices that it's leaving something slick on his skin about half a breath before he realizes where it's going and why the vines have pushed his knees almost to his chin. He tenses without meaning to, anxious and curious in equal measure, his attention now focused entirely on that one vine. As much as he was enjoying the others fucking his mouth, now he can't think about anything except the one stroking over his hole. Its touch is light, barely on the right side of tickling, and Alistair squirms as much as the vines holding him will allow. Anxiety and anticipation both build higher as the vine rubs back and forth, teasing him with the possibility that this time it might fuck him, only to tease a little more instead. The vines in his mouth withdraw, and he doesn't need to hear the questions Zevran is about to ask. He knows what it'll be, and he rasps out, "Yes," without waiting for Zevran to ask. "Please!" He expects to have to ask again, maybe even for Zevran to tease him a while longer, so he's already drawing a breath when the vine finds his hole and presses slowly in. With his mouth already open, his groan is embarrassingly loud. Another expectation proven wrong. He thought it would hurt, at least a little. But the vine is thin enough and slick enough that it doesn't hurt at all. It's not so thin he can't feel it, though. And it feels good. The kind of good that promises to be a lot more if it keeps going. There's just enough texture to the vine's surface that he can feel it moving in and out, fucking him in leisurely thrusts. Another pushes at his lips again, and he opens his mouth to let it back in. It thickens as soon as it passes his lips, filling his mouth by itself, and he groans around it, wanting as much as Zevran will let him have. The vine fucking him pulls out, only so it can thrust back in, faster than before, and the vines pinning his ankles to his thighs shift enough to let one of their number slide around his leg. As it moves, it changes, thinning out and turning slick. Impossible to mistake where it's going, even if it's going there so slowly, Alistair might go crazy before it gets there. With his earlier anxiety gone, all that's left is anticipation edging into desperation. He wants it, wants to feel it moving inside him along with another vine, and he whines around the one in his mouth. "Soon," Zevran says. "But allow me to enjoy this a moment longer. I wish to remember every detail." If his mouth wasn't being fucked, Alistair would point out that the next time Zevran wants to see this, they could do it again. And could Zevran please fuck him before he dies? His mouth is full, however, and while he could twist away from that vine, he doesn't actually want it to stop. He wants more, not less. And Zevran gives him more, even if he does seem to delight in making Alistair wait for it every time. The vine around his leg eventually slides in alongside the other, the two twisting around each other for several thrusts as Alistair's back tries to bow, arms and legs straining against the vines. Another is already winding from his waist to his shoulder and down his spine, taking three times as long to make it from the small of his back to his ass as it took to travel the entire length of his arm. The vine fucking his mouth swells a little larger and begins to thrust harder. Combined with the vines coiling inside him and the one just starting to push into him, it drags another moan out of him. He tries to move counter to the one in his mouth to make its thrusts that much harder, but he's held too tightly for it to work. He tries anyway, wanting to feel it fill his mouth the way it did before, vaguely aware that he's making small, whimpering groans, but not caring enough to stop. Zevran hums thoughtfully, then murmurs, "Would you suck my cock with such eagerness?" It jolts Alistair back to himself, enough for the worrying to start back up, even as he groans around the vine in his mouth. He knows exactly nothing about sucking anyone's cock, and wanting it doesn't make him less ignorant. "Shall we find out?" Zevran asks, and Alistair nods despite his apprehension. The vines twist his arms around to the small of his back and pull his legs away from his chest with his knees still bent, lowering him to kneel on the floor. The change in position makes him feel intensely aware of the vines still filling his ass. They're not thrusting anymore, but with his legs together, they feel larger than they did a moment ago. More vines cradle his head, tilting it to the right angle and then holding it in place as another pair of vines slip into his mouth to open it. He feels awkward, maybe even a little silly. Then Zevran's cock slides between his lips, and silly is the last thing he feels. After the first stunned moments when all he can think of, his cock, oh holy maker, his brain tries to take in every detail and memorize all of them at once. Is this how Zevran felt earlier? It doesn't matter that he'll have the chance to do it again. All that matters is now, the taste and feel of Zevran's cock in his mouth. It's not quite the same as the vines, even the vine that was so clearly imitating a cock. Zevran's skin is a little salty, where the vine had no taste at all. And where the vine was perfectly straight, Zevran's cock curves slightly to one side. And that's leaving aside Zevran's sheer presence, the heat of his body, and all the little sounds Alistair wouldn't be able to hear from more than a few feet away. Small sighs and low hums, the occasional murmured Antivan, words Alistair doesn't know even as the tone makes his cock ache. Zevran doesn't fuck his mouth the way the vine did, but Alistair doesn't mind. The slow thrusts and long pauses give him a chance to explore, even if his eyes are closed and his hands are tied behind his back. He can press the flat of his tongue against the underside of the shaft to feel the skin move. He can run the tip of his tongue over the head to learn each crease and curve. That Zevran makes approving noises every time is just added encouragement. Alistair has almost forgotten about the vines in his ass by the time they begin to move again. The constant, steady pressure had slipped from his notice as he got caught up in studying Zevran's cock. Now the pressure is anything but steady as the vines shift. Even if they're not thrusting the way they did before, they're coiling inside him, a warm weight that twists and turns, and the massive vines shifts to a new position, and something about it sends electricity arcing all the way to Alistair's fingertips. He gasps around Zevran's cock, then gasps again as the vines twist, sending another jolt through him. "Ugh," Zevran breathes. "There, yes." Alistair couldn't give him an answer even without a cock in his mouth, but Zevran isn't waiting for one anyway. He makes the vines curl around again, and this time Alistair whimpers as a third burst of electricity flashes through his body. It's sharp, almost painful, and he's torn between wanting more and wanting it to stop before he loses control. "More?" Zevran traces the underside of Alistair's jaw with his fingers or with one of the thinner vines. "Or shall I try something else?" His cock slips from Alistair's mouth, leaving a wet smear on Alistair's chin. The vines keep Alistair from chasing after it, but he strains forward anyway.
"So you would suck my cock just as eagerly," Zevran says.
He sounds pleased, but also faintly surprised.
And to think I could have discovered that months ago. I might have had the pleasure of watching you do this many, many times. Alistair doesn't know what to say to that, and while he's thinking, Alistair makes the vines in his ass twist again. His skin twitches like he was hit with actual electricity, instead of that strange, too intense pleasure. It's too much, Alistair blurts out. I mean, it's good, but it's also not. Then, when the vines ease off, he adds a mumbled, sorry. Severin doesn't laugh, thank the maker. He cups Alistair's cheek instead, thumb brushing lips that are still warm and tingling. Thank you for telling me. It would upset me greatly to learn later that I had done something to hurt you. It didn't hurt, Alistair says. It just... He flails, unable to explain. It didn't hurt. It was just too much. Something less than pleasant, then, Zevran says. It would upset me to know I had done something to you that was less than pleasant. Unable to think of an answer he's willing to say out loud, Alistair ducks his chin instead, catching Zevran's thumb between his teeth. He holds it lightly and sucks on the tip, tasting traces of salt and something faintly bitter. It takes him a moment to recognize the taste, and then his face heats. He's tasted his own cum once or twice, more out of curiosity than anything, and Zevran's doesn't taste that different. He thinks about trying for Zevran's fingers to find out if they taste the same, but Zevran is already taking his thumb back, slowly, as if he's reluctant to do it, and Alistair considers holding on to see what happens. May I try one thing? Zevran asks, interrupting his thoughts. Something similar, but not quite the same. If it is not to your liking, I promise there are other things to try. Alistair hesitates, thinking both of that electric pleasure pain and how careful Zevran has been of every boundary he's set. After a moment's hesitation, he nods. The vines in his ass begin to move, another few inches sliding in, but rather than fucking him deeper, they twist into a knot that grows thicker and thicker. A soft, more diffuse echo of those previous shocks goes through him, and without the overwhelming intensity, the sensation goes straight to his cock. More, he whispers. Siempre. Zevran's voice is hoarse, barely louder than Alistair's whisper. Alistair doesn't know any ant even, but the knot of vines is thickening, and he understands that just fine. The vines are heavy inside him, a growing pressure that's finally moving deeper, filling him up as they fuck him painfully slow. More, he says, begging now, shaking with the need for it. Please. Another vine slides between his legs and touches his hole, circling around the other vines before. It pushes in. It stretches him open a little more and coils inside him with the others, building the pressure higher. Most of the vines are thrusting and twisting together, pulling a little ways out to push back in even deeper, while one slim vine wraps around his balls, tugging them gently away from his body. It doesn't hurt, so it can't hold his attention for long. The vines fucking him are far more interesting. They're thick enough now that even the slightest movement makes him shudder. He's distantly aware that his mouth is moving, begging, more, 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 more. But it doesn't matter. He can't be embarrassed right now. His skin is too tight, sweat trickling between the vines, and it's all too much. Only this time, it's the right kind of too much, and he's coming, back bowed and mouth open. He's disoriented when it's over, no longer sure which way is up, not even entirely sure what happened. The only thing he knows for sure is that he's hanging in the air again. The vines no longer fucking him. He's not even sure he came. He thought he did, but as good as it felt, he isn't satisfied and his cock is still hard. Under the lassitude, currently drifting warm through his body, tension is already gathering, a restless need for more soon until he comes as many times as it takes to ease the ache in his cock. Zevran kisses him, lips parted, breath quick and warm. Alistair is happy to kiss him back, and it's more than the need for release that has him leaning in eagerly. He's as hungry to have Zevran close as he is to come. And for the first time, he wants the vines to let him go so he can have Zevran's skin under his hands. I want... Alistair starts, but trails off as Zevran licks into his mouth. By the time Zevran is kissing along his jaw, Alistair has forgotten he'd planned to say anything. So when Zevran murmurs, "You want?" in his ear, it takes a breath before Alistair can dredge an answer out of his brain, and another before he can make his mouth work. "I want to touch you. Are you not already?" Zevran asks, teasing. But even as he says it, the vines slip off Alistair's wrists, and when Alistair's hands stroke up his back, he makes a low, pleased sound right in Alistair's ear. "Though who am I to argue with such a lovely idea?" Zevran's hair is tickling at his nose, so Alistair buries his face in it, breathing in the smell of sweat and leather and Zevran. "Wanted to touch you," he murmurs into the hollow behind Zevran's ear. "Been wanting to touch you. I remember." An echo of his earlier delighted surprise warms his voice. "I remember it very well." He nips Alistair's earlobe, a sharp burst of pleasure, where Alistair would have expected pain. "Tell me what other wishes I might grant you. What else have you been wanting?" It's impossible not to be lured in by the words and the purr in his voice, especially when Alistair is already drunk on everything that's happened tonight. Words he might never otherwise have had the nerve to say tumble out in a tangled mess. "When you were, earlier, when you made the vines, they were fucking your cock." With Zevran's mouth against his ear, Alistair can actually hear his lips part in surprise. Before Alistair has time to be embarrassed or try to take the words back, Zevran says, voice husky, "And is that something you want?" Alistair nods, pushing his face deeper into Zevran's hair to hide his blush. Zevran's surprise, his tone, all of it says this isn't something most people would ask for. "Does it hurt?" "For some, yes," Zevran says. "Others enjoy it quite a lot." "You like it very much. Does it hurt you?" Because as much as Alistair's head is spinning, he's already very clear on the fact that Zevran likes pain. And Alistair is willing to try a lot of things, but pain isn't one of them. "Not exactly," Zevran says. As if realizing how reassuring that isn't, he adds apologetically, "It is a difficult feeling to describe." "But we could try it." Alistair breathes in the smell of Zevran's hair and makes himself amend that. "I want to try it." Vines snake around his torso and thighs, squeezing tighter than they might have been, tight enough that breathing is a tiny bit more difficult. "Hold still for me, cariño." Zevran's hand is now low on his stomach and very warm. "But tell me if I should stop." Alistair nods as anticipation and anxiety coil together in his stomach again. Just like when the vine was teasing at his ass, not yet fucking him, all he can do is wait and guess what it might feel like. Will it hurt? Will he hate it? Or, almost worse, will it be a complete disappointment, no more arousing than scratching his ear? Vines curl around his cock, and that alone is enough to make him grateful for the restraints holding him still. The anxiety isn't enough to soften his cock, and without the distraction of talking, he's on edge with the need to come. Whatever Zevran did to him before, however good it felt at the time, it's done nothing but make him more desperate now. Something touches the head of his cock, stroking around the flared edge and over the tip without touching the slit. It's too thin to be anything except a vine, and it's slick. Exactly like the ones that fucked him before. The end is rounded rather than sharp, which at least relieves a little of Alistair's anxiety, and the anticipation winds itself tighter. Zevran doesn't tease him very long this time. The vine circles the head of his cock a few times, then teases at the slit, only for a breath before sliding in, and oh, oh! The vine slides in easily, so slick it meets no resistance, and now he understands Zevran's non-explanation. It hurts and it doesn't, a burning pressure that feels both like and unlike a hand stroking his cock. He could no more describe it than Zevran could, but that doesn't stop his mouth from falling open on a gasp that's half shock and half pleasure. "Yes or no?" Zevran asks in his ear. Alistair whimpers, caught in the wash of sensation rushing through his whole body, aware of Zevran's voice but unable to turn the sound into meaning. The vine withdraws, slipping out as easily as it went in, and Alistair whines in protest.
"Yes or no, Cariño, for this I need a word, though it need not be more than one."
Without the vine down his cock, Alistair can think enough to understand Zevran's words and gather up a few of his own, including one very important word. "Yes." It comes out on a gasp, barely intelligible even to Alistair, and he adds in a rush in case Zevran misunderstood. "More, please, more, please, more, please, please, please." Zevran's hand on his stomach twitches, fingers digging in briefly before relaxing.
"You beg so prettily," he murmurs. "Perhaps I should make you beg even more."
The image is strangely compelling, and yet not at all what Alistair wants right now.
"But you also look so very pretty when I fuck you," Zevran says. "So, another time."
Alistair barely hears that last part, because the thin vine is already touching the head of his cock again, the vine's tip making tiny circles just inside the slit. It's marginally less shocking when it slips in, but it's still overwhelming, burning all the way down. The vine goes deeper this time, and Alistair moans as the burn spreads. It slides in further than Alistair would have thought possible, and when it stops, the vines around his cock squeeze gently. He's hot all over, sweating and shaking, and Zevran's hand rubbing circles on his stomach is the opposite of soothing, especially when Zevran is breathing fast, right in his ear. Another vine curls around his balls, pulling them gently away from his body again, just as another pushes into his ass and begins to fuck him. He comes, and the only reason he doesn't scream is because he doesn't have enough control of his body to inhale. But when it lets go of him at last, his cock is still hard. Zevran lets him catch his breath, and then makes him come again, and again, and again. The vine in his cock is sometimes thick and sometimes thin, and Alistair doesn't honestly know whether he prefers the fullness of it when it's thick, or how far inside him it can go when it's thin. Which is equally true for the vines fucking his ass. Sometimes they stretch him wide open, and sometimes they push so deep he wonders dazedly if they're making his stomach bulge, if Zevran can feel them through his skin. He doesn't open his eyes to check. He's mostly forgotten he even could. Sometimes Zevran builds the pleasure so gradually that Alistair thinks it will never be enough to make him come, and sometimes he drags Alistair up and over the edge so fast it's done before Alistair was quite recovered from the last time. In between, he kisses Alistair as if he wants to make sure Alistair can never get a full breath, strokes his face and his stomach and his thighs, wherever he can reach that isn't covered in vines. Alistair has no idea how many times Zevran has made him come without letting him come when he finally can't take it anymore. His voice is wrecked, but he manages a hoarse, "Please." The vines inside him withdraw and he feels empty, but it's also a relief to be able to think again, even if his thoughts are thoroughly scattered. Zevran kisses him gently.
"Please what, Cariño?" "Please let me come for real," he whispers.
"Shall I do it just like this?" Zevran asks, and Alistair is gratified to hear his voice as rough too.
"Fuck your ass and your cock, and perhaps even your mouth until you come."
Alistair's ass clenches around nothing, and he wants that, but...
"Can I fuck you while you fuck me?"
Zevran huffs out a soft, breathless, "Huh," against his mouth.
"I believe that can be arranged, yes?"
Alistair only has the vaguest idea which way is up. The vines have him wrapped so securely he can't even tell based on where his body rests against them most heavily.
So he doesn't know if Zevran ends up on top of him or under him or beside him. Just that they're chest to chest, his arms around Zevran's and Zevran's arms around him, and the vines tight around both of them. More vines spread Zevran's legs and wrap them around Alistair's waist, rearranging their bodies until the head of Alistair's cock is pushing into Zevran's hole. Objectively, Zevran's ass around his cock doesn't feel all that different from the vines, but Alistair can't be objective about it when Zevran is groaning into a rough, messy kiss. Faint tremors run through Zevran, so faint Alistair can only feel them because the vines have the two of them pressed together, and Zevran's heart is racing against Alistair's hand where it's splayed across his back. A vine slides between the cheeks of Alistair's ass. It's thicker than many of the others, but he's been fucked so many times tonight that it pushes into him easily, as do the thinner ones that follow. They weave themselves together into a knot that tugs against his hole from the inside, pulling like they're trying to pull out, even though the mass of them together is too big. Something moves against Alistair's stomach, and after a moment, he realizes it's another vine. This one curling around Zevran's cock. As it twists around, Zevran groans again, his tongue shoving into Alistair's mouth and his ass squeezing tight around Alistair's cock. He's clinging to Alistair as if the vines aren't all around them, and every thrust of his tongue is accompanied by a small, needy sound deep in his throat. More vines circle the base of Alistair's cock and begin to spiral up it, pushing into Zevran with him. The marks Zevran's fingers are leaving in Alistair's back match with the ones his teeth are leaving in Alistair's lower lip, but the ache doesn't even register. If Zevran is leaving marks, then he's here, pressed against Alistair as tightly as possible, and that's all Alistair cares about. They're barely moving now, the vines pinning them in place and fucking them at the same time. The ones fucking Alistair feel thicker than ever, the intertwined strands growing and pushing against that spot Zevran has already teased so often tonight. Heat is gathering in his stomach, his balls tightening as the vines around his cock twist in a way that makes Zevran moan. One of them has grown noticeably thicker and is twisting back and forth, and Alistair wonders if Zevran is doing the same thing to himself as he's doing to Alistair. That thicker vine goes very still, as the other one curves around the head of Alistair's cock. He doesn't even suspect what's going to happen until Zevran has already done it, thinning the vine and sending it down inside Alistair's cock. It slides deep as any of them have gone, and then deeper all the way until it brushes against something that feels very much like the spot the vines fucking his ass keep rubbing against. He's breathless, overwhelmed, and then all of the vines inside him move together, and he cries out, unable to stop the sound, as he comes so hard his whole body shakes with it, as it burns him up and rips him apart and doesn't stop. When it finally lets go of him, lights are flashing behind his closed eyelids, bright bursts that echo the gradually diminishing bursts of pleasure that continue to jolt him. He's twitching with each aftershock, barely conscious of anything. But he searches blindly until he can press uncoordinated kisses to Zevran's mouth. The vine around Zevran's cock is writhing and twisting frantically, and Zevran is panting, leaning into the kisses without returning them. "Want you to come," Alistair murmurs between kisses. "Want to feel it." Zevran sucks in a sharp breath and goes rigid, comes spilling between them in a hot rush. Alistair is still too out of it to do anything except kiss him and make pleased noises. But since the first thing Zevran does after he starts breathing again is kiss him back, fiercely, Alistair decides he can't have done too badly. After the first one, the kisses soften into slow, lazy brushes of Zevran's mouth against his, interspersed with the occasional contented hum. Alistair drifts, half asleep, and returns both kisses and humming in kind. The vines have relaxed enough that he can move his hands, and he trails his fingers along Zevran's spine, doing nothing except appreciating the warmth of his skin. "All right, cariño," Zevran says, about 3 decades before Alistair is interested in moving. "We should return to camp,
before the others discover us in such a compromising position. He's right, and he sounds honestly regretful. Alistair pushes his face into the hollow of his shoulder and ignores him. Zevran cups the back of his head and rubs his scalp. If we fall asleep like this, neither of us will be happy when we wake. Also true. Also not a compelling enough reason for Alistair to stop nuzzling his throat. Zevran gives him a little more time before he says gently, I would love nothing better than to stay here with you like this, but the others will begin to worry, if they have not already. Embarrassment and discomfort were acceptable risks, but that... Alistair sighs and eases back from Zevran, though he allows himself a somewhat petulant, I want to stay here. Such is the way of the world, Zevran says, half teasing and half sympathetic. The vines shift, moving Alistair away before setting him on his feet. The sudden return of such strange concepts as up and down after so long without them is disorienting enough that Alistair abandons the argument in favor of not falling on his face. About the time he stubs his toe on something, he remembers the other thing he hasn't needed in what feels like days. Sight. He opens his eyes, squinting against the light at the chair in front of him, which is probably responsible for his stubbed toe. Kicking it seems ill-advised, so he turns around instead. Zevran is standing beside the vines, watching them spin back down into stone, with a studied care that makes Alistair instantly wary. Unsure what to say, he tries a joke. We should keep that thing around just for cleanup. His skin is completely clean, even Zevran's cum is gone. Zevran slants a look at him from the corner of one eye. Should we now? Too bad it's so big, Alistair says, weariness growing with every moment that passes. He laughs nervously. It wouldn't really fit in my pack. It might, Zevran says. He's looking at the statue, which is once again lifeless and still, no sign of what hides inside it. About to point out that there's no way short of a miracle he would be able to carry that back to camp, much less fit it in his pack, Alistair closes his mouth as the statue begins to glow. It spins slowly, the vines nowhere in evidence, while Zevran frowns at it in deep concentration. The hand wearing the ring is clenched in a tight fist. The statue begins to spin faster, and Alistair realizes with a start that it's shrinking, collapsing in on itself until, with an almost audible snap, the light vanishes. Blinking away the after images, Alistair walks over to where the statue was and crouches down for a better look. The statue has shrunk to half the size of his fist, looking even more like a rosebud now that it's closer to the right size. Huh. It's slightly warm when he picks it up and a little heavier than it should be for its size, but it will definitely fit in his pack with room to spare. He turns a grin on Zevran, who gives him a faint smile and holds out the gold ring that controls the statue. Whatever it is that has him on edge, it's still bothering him, and Alistair's stomach clenches unpleasantly. With no idea what the problem is, Alistair chooses to ignore it. He takes the ring from Zevran and replaces it with the flower statue. Zevran blinks at the statue and then at Alistair. After a moment, a smile turns up one corner of his mouth. Is this how you plan to win me over? By giving me flowers? He grins at Zevran. Well, it did seem like your kind of flower. Indeed. Zevran looks down at the statue and gives it a real, full smile. Very much my kind of flower. And yet, I have no way to make it anything more. Alistair hefts the ring so it bounces a little on his palm. If you're going to make me beg, he says, ignoring the flush creeping up his face, it's only fair that you have to ask me for something, too. Entirely fair, Zevran agrees. He steps close enough to kiss Alistair's cheek and stays up on his toes to murmur, I might even beg for it. He dances away, laughing when Alistair tries to grab him. His face is lit up, all the tension gone.
And at that moment, the only thing Alistair wants in the entire world is to kiss him until it hurts. And then maybe kiss him some more anyway. Zevran doesn't try very hard to get away. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic and would like to leave a comment for either myself or for the author, you are more than welcome to. If you'd like to leave a comment for me, the podficker, the place to do that is on the podfic post, which is probably wherever you found this podfic to begin with. If you'd like to leave a comment for the author, the place to do that is on the text post, which will be linked from the podfic post. Thanks for listening. Reader's notes. So I've been meaning to record this fic for a while, like literal years, like quite a long time. But it was just never like the right time to record it because it's a little bit lengthy. Like it wasn't something that I could just sort of toss off. It's niche enough that recording it, for someone else for a podfic exchange would be I'm not sure I'd really want to do that just in like unless they specifically requested sounding and like I really love this fic, and sometimes when I really really love a fic I don't want to record it for an exchange or something. I just want to record it for me. And so then this year I did a wild thing and decided that for 2025, I saw a prompt list for Kinktober and was like, but what if podfic? And, let me tell you, it is incredibly hard to not only like, so first off, it's hard enough to find 31 different fics that I would like to podfic that fit the specific prompts. Because they have to fit specific prompts, and while there are certain prompts that I read a lot of, there are other days where it was like all three prompts are basically just not a thing I look for. And then some of them were like some of the prompts, like the prompt that I wanted to fill was something that I knew I read a lot of, but like on my personal bookmark site, like it's not something I go to fic for. So I don't tag for it. So it was really hard to look for fics specifically with that. And then once I found 31 fics that I wanted to podfic, or like 30-ish, 29-ish. Anyway, once I found the fics that I wanted to podfic, I had to get permission for all of them, which means that I actually found way more than 31 fics and did a lot of reorganizing of my list. Like, there was a lot of sort of logistics that was involved in trying to figure out which fic would fill which prompt, that sort of thing. Because there were a couple of things on my list that I asked permission for that I would just absolutely have adored
that fit really, really well, that I really loved, that I just never got permission for, which is how it goes. And then I had to actually produce 31 different podfics, which I'm in the middle of doing right now. I have recorded 30. The last one, I just could not find a fic to fill that prompt, the three prompts for summer. I couldn't find a fic with blanket permission to fill one of those three prompts. I had already asked about a fic. Like, I had asked permission for one. Crickets, which again, sometimes happens. So a friend is writing me one for that day. So that's not done yet. But anyway, the point is to say I had flagged this fic pretty early on, even though it was longer. I gave myself a 10K top amount that I was allowed to do for every day. Otherwise, I would have had like 20K fics for every day, and that's unreasonable. Even for me. So I had this fic flagged from the very start, because I knew that Dragonflies and Catadids had blanket permission and that I really wanted to record this anyway, and that it was a kinky fic. It was just sort of where to put it. And it felt really right. I decided relatively early on in the whole process that it was going to be my free day prompt. Because the three prompts for the last day, there were two that I wasn't really vibing with. And then there was free space, like author's choice. So yeah, free space. I don't know. All of this stuff, it fits for kinky podfic, you know? And I really wanted to record it, and this really, really fit, which means that I'm kind of glad I didn't record it before, because it's perfect. It's really perfect as a sort of feather in the cap for, I did it. I did Kinktober. I mean, I haven't done it yet, because not all the podfics are edited and beta listened, and they all have cover art now. All of that stuff, and they haven't all been posted on the correct day. Anyway, logistics continue. But I have recorded basically everything now, so that vastly increases my chances of success. Yeah, and I'm glad that I sort of waited for this one for the last one so that I could do this little, like, debrief. I also want to say that I think this might have been the first fic that introduced me to sounding as a concept, like, in that I knew what it was before this fic, but I had been really hesitant to read anything with it, because I'm like, how is that, what? I was just like, you know what, it's not for me, so I'm just not gonna click on anything with that tag. And then I was reading through all of Dragonflies and Catadids Zevran Alistair stuff, and this one came up, and I was like, well, you know what, I don't care, I'm gonna try. And then it was great, and just, yeah, now I read sounding fic, so, you know, thanks for that, Dragonflies and Catadids. But yeah, yay, I'm done Kinktober, I'm done recording, mostly. Congrats to me. And if by the time you're listening to this, I'm done posting. Yay, Kinktober. I did it.